Podcast, episode number 28 from BenGreenfieldFitness.com. Welcome to the BenGreenfieldFitness.com podcast. My name is Ben Greenfield, and I'm a certified personal trainer, nutritionist, and exercise physiologist. Each week, I'll be bringing you cutting-edge fitness, diet, and wellness content to help you reach your goals. So whether you're an Ironman triathlete or you're just trying to shed a few pounds, grab that MP3 player, put on your exercise gear, and listen in to this week's podcast. Hey, podcast listeners. This is Ben Greenfield, and we're right in the middle of the holiday season. So I'm full of good cheer, and I'm going to start off today's podcast with some discount codes before I get on to our interview that's all about the dangers of dairy with Paul Eastwood. And he's full of good information, and he has a great accent, so you're going to want to stick around for that interview. But as far as the discount codes, I know you might be putting on your running shoes, hopping on your bike, or maybe picking up a bar at the gym, but pause for just a second, grab a pencil or a pen, and I'll wait for a brief moment for you to do that. Okay, that's long enough. Here are some of the discount codes that have been in previous podcasts, but I want to review them for you, and I've got a brand new one that you're really going to dig. So right off the bat, the thing that a lot of my clients are using to get in great shape, especially in these winter months when some of them are stuck indoors, great portable exercise tool. It's called the Gym Stick. I've talked about it before. I've got some exercise videos of me doing workouts with it at BenGreenfieldFitness.com, but you can get it for $10 off by using the discount code Gym Stick. It's important that you write that in all caps, caps lock, but it's Gym Stick, and I'll put a link in the show notes where you can get your hands on one of those. They're $79 normally, so $10 is a good significant discount code for you on that. Now, there's also using the discount code BGF. For any of you Ironman triathletes out there, two Ironman training plans that I've written. One for Ironman Coeur d'Alene that's set to begin January 1st, and one for my Ironman Canada that's set to begin January 1st. If you are signed up for or you're a triathlete who's competing in either of those events, you're going to want to check out these training plans. As a coach, my philosophy is that you should spend a lot of your time in quality training. Most of us don't have the time to train as much as the pros do, and so we have to do some proprietary things, you know, in terms of intervals and heart rate zones and things that allow us to get the most bang for our buck out of the training time that we do have available. I've written those training plans with that in mind, and you can automatically get $20 off either of those training plans by using the discount code BGF. I'll also put a link to those in the show notes. Now, I know that everybody that listens to this podcast is not a triathlete, but I'm going to give out one more triathlon discount code. If you live in the Northwest and you're a triathlete, and you're familiar with the Triathlon Northwest race series, that's at trinw.com, I'm offering a training plan to get you ready for any of those races. And you can view those at the link that I'll put in the show notes, but the discount code to get those, if you're a Triathlon Northwest member, is available to you by simply contacting Triathlon Northwest, and they'll get you $20 off any training plan for, you know, Blue Lake, Pacific Crest, Black Diamond. So if you're in the Northwest, the Pacific Northwest, I've got training plans for a lot of those races that are available to you. Okay, I know this is a really long intro, but I'm not done yet, because the best question this week, that means in the space between December 29th and January 6th, the best listener question that I receive either in my email box, ben@bengreenfieldfitness.com, or in a comment on the blog, I'm going to give away a free premium subscription to Training Peaks. Now, if you're not familiar with Training Peaks, it is the online training software that I use to coach all the athletes that I train, as well as some of the clients that I work with for personal training. And you can read more about that at trainingpeaks.com. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. But that is a $50 value for a 3-month subscription to Training Peaks. And basically, it's something that you can use to plan out your training year, to write out workout calendars, have access to detailed daily workouts, exercise photos and videos, and that is all going to be free. I'm literally going to give you a code that you can go type in on the website, and bam, you're in. All you have to do is ask the best question this week, and I will feature it on the podcast, keeping you completely anonymous, of course, but you will be awarded that free subscription. And I'm not done with the intro yet, but because I know I've been droning on, I'm going to take a break from the intro because I do have a couple more announcements. I'm going to go straight on to this week's listener Q&A, and then I'm going to come back, finish up the announcements, and take you on to the dairy interview. Listener Q&A. This week's listener Q&A is from Allison, and Allison says, I've heard you talk about probiotics, but what about prebiotics? What are they and where can I get them? Okay, in podcast episode number 16, I talked all about probiotics, the good bacteria that you can actually take in supplemental form to not only enhance your ability to digest foods, but also to support your immune system and your overall health and wellness. I take probiotics every day. I'm a huge fan of them. They're not just something that you'd want to take, you know, say if you're on an antibiotic regimen or if you're sick. You can actually take them every day for digestive support. I personally take them because I have a little bit of a problem digesting gluten. I have a little bit of problem with some celiac function. And so basically, I take a probiotic just to keep my digestive system in tune. If you've got a perfect gut, you might be able to get away with not taking them, but most people need to get some good bacteria in their diet to balance out all the bad bacteria that you're getting right now in your food supply. Regardless, though, that's a probiotic. And this question was about a prebiotic. Well, basically, you can take certain things that make probiotics work better. And basically, a prebiotic is kind of a long chain of sugar molecules called an oligosaccharide, as well as something called inulin, which is not to be confused with insulin, the hormone. Inulin is just a soluble fiber that you can find in grains, fruits, or vegetables. Prebiotics also have something called a phenol in them, which is an antioxidant-rich compound that we find in plant foods. Anyways, so the idea is that you can take some foods that contain prebiotics if you're taking probiotics already, and the prebiotics will help the probiotics work more actively. They basically feed the good bacteria, not the bad bacteria. A few examples of these would be asparagus, bananas, barley, oats, beans, onions, berries, peas, cherries, red wine, dark chocolate, hey, I like that one, soybeans, eggplant, garlic, rye, most fresh herbs, and whole wheat. Now, I know that there are many other considerations to some of the foods that I just mentioned, other than the fact that they're prebiotics, but whenever I get advice like that, that says, oh, this food is good for you, or this compound is, you know, something that you should be taking, what I do is just make sure that that food appears on my grocery shopping list. I don't necessarily write out a meal plan that says that I have to consume that food every single day. I just make sure it ends up in the house. You know, for example, almonds are full of all sorts of valuable compounds for our bodies, but I don't have a meal plan hanging on my refrigerator that says, have a handful of almonds every day. I just make sure that that's something that I buy when I go to the grocery store, and when I run out, I buy more. So don't take a laundry list of things like that and think, oh crap, how am I going to get that all into my meal plan? You just make sure that some of those things appear on your grocery shopping list, and that way it becomes a part of your lifestyle, and not something that ties you down and basically almost makes you jump ship on your nutrition plan if you're not able to fulfill it, which I see a lot of people do. They just make their meal plans too hard, too strict, too regimented, and then they're not able to keep it up. So just make sure that you stock your cupboards and your refrigerator with good foods, like some of those that I listed, as well as many others that I've talked about in the past, and that'll really put you in good shape for a proper nutrition plan. So great question, Allison. And we're going to move on to finish the announcements for this week. Okay, I've got three final announcements that I'm going to list in chronological order. The first is very important because you have an opportunity for me to be your personal nutritionist and personal fitness trainer for 2009 to help you achieve your goals. I've mentioned this in the past couple of podcasts, and this offer expires at midnight on December 31st. It's $149 for a month, and basically what you get out of that is complete unlimited access, both phone and email access to me as your personal trainer and nutritionist. You get a free bottle of the Thermofactor metabolism boosting supplement. You get a free bottle of the Enerprime superfood multivitamin. You get a free gym stick. You get monthly personal training meetings with me. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. I will meet with you. I'll hunt you down and meet with you via phone as well as through unlimited emails throughout the course of the month. This is the best way to get in shape and reach your goals. Face-to-face personal training is good. Sometimes you need a drill sergeant, but that's not what I'm offering to you. I'm offering you complete, unlimited guidance from me. And yes, if you're local in the area, we will meet face-to-face, but basically this is for anybody, anywhere. You can take me on as your personal guide through 2009. There is a link in the show notes. You can't miss it. If you go to the website, bengreenfieldfitness.com, I'll make it very obvious. There's a link in the show notes. Click on it. You'll be directed to a place where you can sign up for this package. And as soon as you click to sign up, you'll be brought to a comprehensive goals questionnaire, which you will fill out. I'll receive that questionnaire, and you will be talking with me personally on the phone within just a few days. So that's number one. Number two, on January 4th, that's a Sunday evening at 5 p.m., I'm doing a 90-minute live video Q&A session on fat loss for 2009. The basic idea behind this is fat loss. If you're going after wellness, general health, well-being, that type of thing, you'll also get a lot out of this video interview. I'm going to give my top 12 fat-burning techniques. These are not going to be what you're reading in the magazines. It's not going to be run-of-the-mill, boring, ho-hum advice. This is going to be stuff that's pretty cutting-edge, and it's going to be given away for free January 4th. That's 5 p.m. Pacific time on Sunday. I will be doing a live video interview. When you click on the link, you'll be brought to a video of me. You'll also have a chat box where you can type to me your questions, and I will answer them in real time. This is going to be a blast, and I've developed some great material to present to you during that video Q&A. And then finally, on January 6th, for any of you local people, meaning around my hometown of Spokane, Washington, or Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, at Pilgrims in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. That's a Whole Foods market, a great place on 4th Street in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I'm going to be giving a talk about the synergy of fat loss. That talk's going to be at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, January 6th. And once again, that will not be run-of-the-mill advice. Basically, I'm going to be going over some very pointed, very specific techniques that you can use for fat loss that involve way, way more than just going on a diet. So I know that in the announcements today, I went over a ton of material, and I know that even though all the listeners to this show are brilliant rocket scientists with photographic memory, I'm going to put a link to all that stuff up in the show notes for podcast episode number 28 at bengreenfieldfitness.com, so you can go check all that out. And if you haven't yet, Be sure to subscribe to the newsletter on the website because I send you weekly updates, videos, photos. We're doing kind of a fun thing in the newsletter right now where we're tracking one of the clients that I'm training and putting out photos and videos and audio testimonials and things like that with her. And as a matter of fact, we just put out a half-hour nutrition consultation so you can kind of hear what it's like when people are talking on the phone with me, when I'm consulting with them, so you can see if that's something that is up your alley. So we're going to move on to this week's interview with Paul Eastwood. Paul wrote a fantastic article that I read in a personal training magazine about dairy, and the article was very stimulating and inspired me to get Paul on the show to talk about a little bit of what he presented in that article. Hey, podcast listeners, this is Ben Greenfield, and as promised, I have someone here to actually talk about dairy. And one of the questions that we actually had in a listener Q&A in a previous podcast was what some alternatives to dairy were, and the listener was asking about rice milk and almond milk and soy milk. Well, I thought instead of just answering that question that it would be helpful to step back and take a look at dairy, whether or not it's something we should actually be worrying about, and what some of the considerations that we should have should be when we're talking about dairy. And I have a gentleman named Paul Eastwood on the phone today, and I want Paul to tell us a little bit about himself. But first of all, Paul, welcome and thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Ben. It's good to be here. I'd like to give you and your listeners some good advice and some things to take home with them, and definitely help them with their future training program and recovery and from exercise and health, more importantly. So,
well, yeah, fantastic.
I'll be very happy to answer every question.
I'm just going to go pour myself a nice tall glass of milk, and and then I'll. What I'd like to do is actually give me a little bit of your background. How did you become involved in the health, the fitness, and the nutrition industry?
Well, I started out a long time ago as a tennis coach, and I soon realized that no matter how good a coach I was, it was not all about the skills that I was teaching my clients and pupils. It was a lot more about the fitness and health of these particular people. So I went to university, and I was very fortunate to study under Professor Bruce Davis, who is the ex-director of the British Olympic Medical Center, and he's a massive advocate of health and fitness, because his specialty is coronary heart disease, and obviously looking at all the risk factors there, it encompasses health and fitness. So his first degree students were, which I was fortunate to be one of, were highly educated, because he wanted his reputation as the ex-director to be imbued, if you like, into his first lot of students. So it really gave me a real taste for how important health and fitness is, because I don't know how keen some of your students are, but it doesn't take you long to be in this field that when you realize it's not healthy, then your fitness will only go so far. If there is a lack of health in the body, the fitness will only take you so far, because you need certain things or the body to be a certain way, or to act a certain way, or to recover in a certain way, and that really does obviously point heavily towards what kind of nutrition you intake.
Absolutely, and if I can interject, that returns to something that I mentioned. I had a recent interview over on the website everymantry.com, and I knew that I was talking to a lot of endurance athletes, and that's one of the things I said was, one of the biggest mistakes that you can make is to eat as much as you want or anything that you can, and then exercise as much as you can to fight that. That's one of the biggest mistakes can make. So, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, that's right. That's a bit like trying to run a marathon on your hands instead of using, you know, being educated and sort of and training smart, just training hard, because they're not all food is created equal, unfortunately. So just like there's quite a lot of equipment and training methods in a gym or in a studio just like there is a group of foods that we need to look at, there isn't a one food that has everything in it. And that's why it's all about education, really. And I just read a lot and I research a lot. I like to write articles, and I've looked at the Czech teachings. I've looked at NASM and ACSM, and I always just constantly look to keep my knowledge up and try and identify myself as a somewhat strong in the industry, but more so to just pass on the best knowledge. And I'm sure you're the same, Ben. You obviously have a tremendous passion for your listeners and your students, because you're just passing on great knowledge. I'm very happy to be here for that. And I don't think you can, if you've got somebody that you know who has that passion, then you're always going to have the best advice. And you can just do what we're doing today, is look at it all, review it, and take some of the gems and also the weaknesses, and decide for yourself what you're going to do with it.
Absolutely. Well, let's cut to the chase. I've got this big glass of milk that I'm drinking. Is that a good is that a good thing, Paul? Should I be drinking this?
No, you shouldn't, Ben.
Why not?
Please don't drink that. You see, we have lactose intolerance to consider. We have the pasteurization process to consider, and we now have the fact that we know what estrogen and IGF-1, which I'm sorry to do that, that there are two hormones which are really not very good for human consumption at all to have. So milk is, in today's standards, it isn't really something we need to drink. I think a long time ago it had a really good benefit to society, but these days we can just get everything that milk got from much better sources.
Why do you think that milk used to be good?
Milk used to be good because when in the 1940s, late 1930s, there was a big case of rickets, especially in poorer cities where there was not a lot of natural sunlight. And to cure that, obviously scientists knew at that time that vitamin D or vitamin D was obviously very important. So they needed to come up with foods that were high in vitamin D. And milk was accidentally stumbled upon, because if they exposed it to an ultraviolet wavelength, it converted estradiol or a hormone into vitamin D. And fortunately, that broke down the hormones that I described earlier and made milk very safe, or a lot safer than it is today.
The hormones that you described earlier, you mean specifically estrogen, which I believe you pronounce estrogen, but out here in Washington and Idaho, we pronounce it estrogen. And the other one that you said was IGF-1. And for our listeners, IGF-1 stands for insulin-like growth factor 1. And both of those hormones are broken down by this process where they exposed milk to ultraviolet light.
Yes, that's right. That is correct. And unfortunately, with today's new technology, it's actually a lot cheaper to synthetically add vitamin D to milk. And unfortunately, they don't treat milk anymore with sunlight or ultraviolet. So it's now these hormones pass into the body undetected, and they work in a very good duo. One shuts down your ability to identify cancerous or natural mutations, and estrogen increases the natural occurrence of mutations. So they're definitely deadly duo. So it's something we really don't need to have. It's only for young calves and young babies. In fact, cow's milk is exactly the same as mother's milk, and it's really only designed for people who don't have an endocrine system or hormone glands that need this type of fluid or substance to develop them. Once we've got our own system in place, it's something we don't really need.
So let me get this straight. The estrogen and the IGF, these compounds in milk are no longer broken down the way that milk is made today, and when they're floating around in people's bodies, they can increase people's risk of cancer?
Yes, namely prostate cancer and hormone-sensitive breast tissue cancer in women, because if you think about, and this is why you're so good, you know, the advice you gave to those endurance athletes, if people think about their bodies as a painting, and if you get a black ink and you throw that at your painting, even if you try and wipe the black ink off because you realize that it's not going to mix well, it's too late. Anything you put in your mouth has to combine with your body. You know, you're organic. It's not just going to go through and pass out. You put something into a body that's designed to absorb that and use it in some way. So unfortunately, these hormones travel to certain receptor sites in the body, and the particular gene sites that they attach to are in prostate and breast tissue. There are other sites, but these are the ones where these receptors are the highest.
What about if you're trying to lose weight? What happens to what effect can those hormones have then?
I think this is a terrible thing to have if you're trying to lose weight. IGF-1 is a growth factor. You said that, and doesn't take a lot of knowledge to realize that that's something that's not really going to help you lose any weight. It increases your ability to put on lean tissue. So if you're obviously whey protein powders, for example, are very popular, and we see milk adverts these days with athletes that are of a strength type nature. So this is the problem. They are better for strength athletes anyway. As a weight loss substance, it's something that's not really going to do you any good. And estrogen, gosh, then that's just the only thing you'll find estrogen linked to is fat in the research journal. So I don't think that's going to help you lose any weight either.
Well, what about raw milk? I mean, does it have the same type of hormones in it that people should be concerned about?
Actually, it does. It's better than store-bought milk because it's not pasteurized, and which is a whole other discussion, really. But it's really difficult to get hold of, and you get linked up into all kinds of FDA battles and rules and things, because in some states it's actually illegal to have raw milk just because of the lack of knowledge. And a long time ago, you know, so Louis Pasteur decided that pasteurization would be safe to kill a certain amount of bacteria in any given product, and unless those standards still apply today, and unless they're met, then it's actually considered illegal, and there are very few states that actually have that ability to sell raw products.
So raw milk is technically it's a little bit better for you, but it's still got some of those estrogens and IGF all of them. Okay. Well, what about alternatives, Paul? Like, obviously, I would say the top three that I always hear about would be soy milk, almond milk, or rice milk. What do you feel about those in terms of their efficacy as alternatives to dairy products for people who like dairy products?
Pretty good. Rice milk and almond milk are excellent. Soy milk is better than milk, cow's milk. It's still a little dodgy because it does have the what they do when they make soy milk. They put the whole soybean in there, and the actual outer layer of a soybean is very toxic and sort of poisonous to humans. It's there only to prevent insects from eating it when it's obviously growing, and just like a banana skin, you know, we can't eat banana skin, so we wouldn't want to put that into our bodies if we bought something that where they just crushed up the whole banana and the skin and diluted it. So soy milk isn't great. Soy beans are fantastic, but almond milk and rice milk are great alternatives. They're very safe. They don't quite have the same amount of protein in there, but great sources of calcium. They're still low GI, and more almond milk than rice milk. But no, they're very safe, and you can mix your cereals and your protein powders, and you can put them in your cereals and things, and you'll be fine.
So the almond milk, the soy milk, the rice milk, if you could classify those in terms of which you would like, you know, your clients who would be trying to lose weight or trying to choose the healthiest product, which one would you recommend as the top choice?
I would go with rice milk, almond milk, and then soy milk. And just real quickly, the reason why I did that is almond milk is a omega-6 fatty acid, which is an essential one, but omega-6s, I don't know if you know, are actually inflammatory, and we have way too many omega-6s. So without going off topic, I won't. So if you have that high in omega-3s, then almond milk is great, but we really do hit our bodies with a lot of omega-6, and as people that train and work out, we get enough inflammation from our workouts. We don't really need to be taking in too many foods that also cause inflammation. So rice milk gets the winner for them.
Well, obviously, the dairy industry could refer to animals other than cows, and the animal that particularly comes to mind for me is goat, because there are, and I know, goat whey protein products on the market and goat milk on the market. What about milk from animals other than cows?
Unfortunately, they're still going to have those hormones in which do the most damage. And if people haven't heard about that yet, it's just because Ben Greenfield is obviously, you know, hot off the mark and knows his stuff. This is just coming out now, and I will give you guys some reading materials to look at the end. But unfortunately, every animal that produces milk is producing it for a young baby or calf, or it's young and will always have those poisonous hormones in there. The only good thing about goat's milk is that it's pretty much lactose free. It's very low in lactose. Because of the way that a goat's stomach and digestion works.
So you refer to those as poisonous hormones. I guess, you know, the way that I think about it is they're natural, but adults basically would have a deleterious or a bad reaction to consuming something that was designed for a baby to grow with. Is that what you're basically saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that is correct.
Because I don't want to give people the impression, you know, that for instance, a child to be drinking, you know, even something like breast milk would be poisonous. But what you're saying is that these compounds that were designed for people to grow shouldn't necessarily be given to people who are trying not to grow fat or not to grow cancer cells.
Right. Yes. Correct. It's, as I said, go back to that painting example. Anything you throw at the painting or put in your mouth has to combine with you. And if you don't need it, it will do you some harm. You know, it'll have an adverse effect. And you can't take in IGF-1 and estrogen and not expect it to just go away. It will actually, you know, combine with you at some point at some site. And, you know, the research now tells us that this is what it does. Estrogen causes cancerous mutations, and IGF-1 suppresses your killer cell ability to detect these cancerous mutations. So you shut down your ability to protect yourself from cancer. So it's just paramount that you really do look at ways to reduce your dairy intake.
So here's a question that I get a lot from especially women that I help lose weight. They get concerned about osteoporosis if they cut dairy products out of their diet. What would you say to a concern like that?
Right. Well, there are many alternatives to calcium. We're often tricked into thinking that milk is pretty high on the chart if you look at, you know, how much calcium you get from that source. But we can get it. It's nowhere near the highest. If you look at cooked green collards, for example, or spinach, you know, green leafy vegetables are very high in calcium, and they obviously absorb calcium through the soil. So, you know, we couldn't just think of calcium when it comes to milk. Calcium is a mineral, and it's obviously in the soil in vast quantities. So certain plants actually absorb more of that than others, and it tends to be the green leafy ones. But even a can of salmon actually has a tremendous amount of calcium in there. So you know, there it's you don't have to look too far, and it's easy to Google calcium or look at my article on Teach on the Net, or you know, can talk to yourself. There's many things. You need calcium tablets these days. Obviously, keeping up your vitamin D would be helpful because it enhances your calcium absorption. But no, there's much, much safer alternatives now. I think I hope to see the vitamin D and the calcium type kind of excitement towards milk will be dampened, because it really isn't that high anymore. It isn't really such a valuable source. We have far more better alternatives, which have higher amounts of nutrition in, as well as the calcium as well.
Gotcha. Now let's talk about the glycemic index. Dairy on a lot of these glycemic index charts is listed as a low glycemic index food, and one of the ways that I help people lose weight is by helping them to choose low glycemic index foods. But is dairy truly a low glycemic index food? Because I've seen controversial statements about that.
Yes. I mean, yes and no. I think you have to be careful of anything that's low GI, that's fluid-based, because it just enters the body so quick. Its absorption rate can be very high. Milk notoriously does come up pretty low on some journals or on some websites. I don't think it is too much. One of the reasons why people mix it with a protein shake or something is because it actually can help deliver sugar to the body reasonably quickly. Otherwise, you know, you'd just use water instead. But if you look at soy milk and almond milk and rice milk to a slightly lesser extent, these are all low GI alternatives. So without sort of debating whether it is or not, I think I've given my opinion. You could certainly you don't have to worry about what the alternatives are.
Okay. Now, in terms of books, sources, I know there's a lot of information out there about dairy. What would your recommendation be to the audience in terms of websites or books that you'd recommend they use as a resource to find out more on this topic?
For the people who really want to know the most current information and don't mind a book that gets quite technical at times, I would have to say the Deadly Dairy Deception book that's just come out. It has tremendous references in every chapter, as well as a chapter kind of review. And it's written by a great doctor who I've had the pleasure of meeting a couple of times, Dr. Robert Bibb. And that's a great book, 2008. It's just been published. So that's as current as it's going to get. And that's the only reference I could really find that had strong references for the cancerous links, unless you go to the journals themselves. So that was good that there's finally a book out that's actually bringing that to everyone's attention. There are a couple of other books, though, that go into the more dynamics of the pasteurization and lactose intolerance, and also that milk isn't really as relevant today as it was, say, 60 years ago. There's a book, Richard Aorsky, wrote a book called Don't Drink Your Milk. That's quite a good one. Again, it's back to and it's a nice health type perspective. Paul Cech wrote a book, Eat, Move, and Be Healthy, and there's go into detail about dairy and the curse of Louis Pasteur. Another good book. He mentions that. And those are just in very nice, easy to read format, go over some of the downsides of dairy, not just milk, but other things that we probably haven't had a chance to discuss today. But certainly, how bad it is for your health in response to what pasteurization involves exactly, and what lactose intolerance means, and what it can actually do to your body, especially when it comes to things like your abs and leaky gut syndrome and things that. That we don't tolerate very well, what can happen to us as a result. So I think those are really good. Nancy Applegate wrote The Curse of Louis Pasteur, by the way, and those are really good sources to look at I just wanted to find out a little bit more about what milk can do and is doing right now.
Fantastic. I'll put a link to these in the show notes. And how about you, Paul? Where are you located out of?
Yes, I'm actually just getting ready to move to L.A. and work for Equinox in Westwood. I have some clients that were here in North Carolina that are just moving to that part of the world. I've been in London, obviously, for the last 7 years, and I've managed to rack up a couple of high-profile people which would like to keep a hold of my services. So for once, I'm moving with them, which is very exciting. I do want to work in this particular part of the world, as it's such a health and fitness kind of driven nation, and I'd like to work with a lot more people there, and where I think people are a little bit more open-minded onto what is good and bad, and I'm always trying to be on the edge, so I think it'd be an environment that would be really good for me. I have a, if anybody ever wants to ask any questions, they can just get hold of me on my email. I know today is we've rushed through a lot of things, and if you do want to ever come and speak to me, you can get hold of me at paullifefit@hotmail.com. Yeah, that's my
the words Paul Life and Fit at hotmail.com.
Yep.
Okay, fantastic. I'll put a link to that as well in the show notes. And as well, I'll also link up to the Deadly Dairy Deception, Don't Drink Your Milk, Eat, Live, and Be Healthy. Well, it sounds like you have quite a bit on your plate, Paul, getting ready to move from North Carolina to L.A. So I'll let you go, but I want to thank you for coming on the show, and would look forward to perhaps having you on as a guest again sometime in the future.
Absolutely. No, I'm really pleased to do that. It's nice to meet people who are in the industry and not so selfish and really do want to share the knowledge and just do the best job we can. I think you can't ask any more than that. I really appreciate the opportunity to come here and speak to you and love to come back.
Thanks, Paul. Have a great day.
Will do. Thank you very much.
That's today's content from BenGreenfieldFitness.com. Now please go to the show notes, check out some of those discounts, some of those special offers that I put up. Always remember, there's tons of other discount codes. If you go over to the right side of the page at BenGreenfieldFitness.com, scroll down, I've got tons of things that I've reviewed, that I personally use, that I've contacted these companies, and they've actually given me discounts that I can put on my website that you can use. So remember, when we're talking about health, I'm out there trying to find the things that are best for you. Anything that I find that I'm impressed with or that I use personally in my own diet, in my own exercise routine, in my own lifestyle pattern, I will put on the website. So make sure that you visit, that you explore it so that you can see how to achieve wellness optimally. So if you have questions, remember that you can email them to ben@bengreenfieldfitness.com. Remember, the most pressing thing is that you have until January 31st to decide, or I'm sorry, December 31st, to decide if you want me to work with you in 2009 for that special promotional deal. And then finally, if you have downloaded this podcast in iTunes, leave us a ranking, leave us a comment. It's really helpful when somebody goes to decide if this is something they want to listen to, if they read and they can see what it's about. And the feedback really helps me too, because ultimately what I want to do is put information out there that helps you. So give me feedback on what you want to see on the BenGreenfieldFitness.com podcast and website. Until next time, this is Ben Greenfield signing out. Happy New Year.